Psalm 90. Let's look at one verse for right now. Before we do that, let's pray. Father, we thank you for a new morning. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, God, that you give us this whole day to be committed into your hands. And Lord, I pray that you give us wisdom on how to use this day for your will and your glory. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's look at Psalm 90, verse 12. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days, so that we present to you a heart of wisdom. So these days I've been thinking about time. And just how precious time was. And so as I was meditating on the Psalms and I came across this verse, I was like, this is great. I'm going to just share a devotional about time. And what I was going to say this morning was something to the effect that time is precious, and it's actually more valuable than money. You know, probably, you know, all of us understand the significance of the importance of money. But I was going to stand up here and just say, well, time is even more precious because you can't make more time. You can make more money, but you can't make more time. And then I was going to give you quotes from Tozer, who says, time is a resource that is non-renewable, non-transferable. You cannot store it, slow it up, hold it, divide it up, or give it up. You can't hoard it up. You can't save it for a rainy day when it's lost. It's unrecoverable. When you kill time, it has no resurrection. And so I was going to present to you the fact that it seems that the psalm is saying, you know, teach us to number our days. Time is so valuable, and so, you know, it's the most valuable asset, so you better use it wisely. I was going to continue and say, you know, since you can't save time, you can only invest it. And I was going to give you a quote from Billy Graham, who said, time is the capital that God has given us to invest. People are the stocks in which we invest our time, whether they're blue chips, whether the people are penny stocks, or whether the people are even junk bonds. And so I was going to go on and on and on that I was going to give you an example of a cancer patient who only has 6 months to live. And if you were to ask them, would you rather have more money or more time? And the answer would be, usually I would want more time. To sort of emphasize and stress the value of time over money. I was going to give you another example of if you had only $1,000 and that's all you've got to live on next month, you'd be very careful on how you spend that money. In the same way with our time, because it's a limited resource that we need to, you know, sort of use it wisely, invest it wisely. And so that's what I was going to do this morning. And so as we meditate on verse 12, teach us, Lord, to number our days so that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. I was going to encourage and admonish us, you know, we have a limited amount of time. So therefore, we should do as much as we can. Because once it's lost, it's lost. And we should do as much as we can for the kingdom of God. Because once it's gone, it's gone. And so as I was reflecting on this, I was like, okay. You know, we have a limited amount of time, okay? If you go online, there's even a death clock. I don't know if you've ever seen this, where you write your date of birth, and it gives you the amount of days and months and seconds before, you know, you die and things like that. So it's like a countdown to your death, you know? And I was even thinking, okay, maybe we should all go on that. And so now your days are numbered, and now you can use it wisely for the Lord. And I think I was just projecting sort of the stress, my inner stress that I've been feeling, like, you know, our time is short. I want to make use of my time. I want it to count and things like that. And so when I came across this verse, I was like, yeah, you guys, everybody, you know, time is short. So you got to pack as much, you know, if you want to bungee jump and skydive and you want to do some crazy things, if you want to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, you got to do it now, you know. And there's this urgency, like, you got to do it now, you got to do it now, that I was feeling. And as I was meditating on scriptures, I was stressing myself out. I mean, yeah, I don't know if you've ever done that, you know. Actually, the opposite effect should be the case. When you meditate on the scriptures, you should actually feel the closeness and the presence of God. And here I am reading this, and I'm stressing out. I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, time is short. You know, what have I done with my life? You know, I've accomplished nothing. And, you know, fast forward, you know, if I haven't hit midlife crisis now, let's fast forward to it now and just start just thinking like, oh, my life is such a waste and I haven't done anything. And so I was meditating on this, and I'm just stressing out. I just fast forward, accelerated my midlife crisis to now. You know, maybe I should buy a motorcycle, you know, maybe. I don't know. But the thing is, and this is the typical way that this verse is usually taught, is that, you know, our days are numbered, time is short, so pack as much stuff into your life now. But as I read the psalm, and this is one of the only psalms that's attributed to Moses, you read the whole psalm in its entirety, and that's what I want to sort of meditate on, you find a sort of a different heart of God. And so let's look at verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you give birth to the earth, the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. I want to start right there, and that it starts off with, Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. Remember, the Israelites were a nomadic group of people that didn't have a building or a place as their home. And so, in fact, Yahweh, the Lord, had to be their dwelling place, their home. This imagery of a dwelling place or a tent. And if you look at the imagery of a tent is a place of protection from the elements, a place of shade for the heat. It's a place where they can stay and rest. It's a home. In other words, the Lord has been the home for these people. And if it wasn't for the Lord, then they would be a homeless people. And just think of all the things with homeless people. You know, they don't know when they're going to get their next meal. They don't know how they're going to live the next day. They don't know how they're going to protect themselves from the rain or the heat. There's a lot of uncertainties. There's a lot of deficiencies in those who are homeless. But those who have their home in the Lord, it changes the whole game. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Even before mountains were born, you gave birth to the earth and the world. Before time was in existence, you were there. Before the mountains were born, before the birth of the earth, from everlasting, you are God. Here's a time reference that we're going to refer back to. Verse 3, you turn man back into dust and say, return, O children of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. So in other words, 1,000 years is nothing. It just passes so quickly. It just passes by. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning it flourishes and sprouts anew. Towards evening it fades and withers away. Verse 7, there's a huge change in direction of attitude here. For we've been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we have been dismayed. You've placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? So teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. And this is where we normally stop, right? You know, and there's a lot of time imagery, and so it's like, yeah, time is short, time is short, time is short. Oh my goodness, time is short. Stress, 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 time is short. But then you've got to read the rest of the psalm to understand what the point of verse 12 is. So let's continue with verse 13. Do return, O Lord. How long will it be? And sorry for your servants. Sorry, before we continue. So you get this idea from verse 1 that the Lord, before time, he encompasses time, has been the home for the Israelites. a protection, a provider, all these things. And then in verse 7, there's a change in all the sins and the disobedience and the wrath of God. And who in verse 11, who understands the power of your anger, your fury, according to the fear that is due to you? So there's this idea of time and disobedience, and then teach us the number of our days. And then here's the plea. Do return, O Lord, in verse 13. How long will it be? And be sorry for your servants. O satisfy us, another tone change, in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us and the years that we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants and your majesty to your children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and confirm us, and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. And so this ends with sort of an affirmation or a prayer or a desire or a request. Look, Lord, you are before time. You are the beginning of time. You encompass all of time. We've rebelled. We've disobeyed. We've sinned against you. But now, and so in verse 12, teach us to number our ways so that we present to you a heart of wisdom. But now it says, Lord, let your favor be upon us. Confirm, affirm to us once again that we are your people or the work is pleasing to you. And so on the way here, I was meditating on this and I was reading this stress and now it's like, oh man, instead of an encouraging message, I'm going to just give sort of a discouraging message. Like, you know, what are you guys doing with your time? You know, what are you doing with your life? Make your life count for something. Do something with your life. And I realize as you meditate upon this, you realize in verse 12, it says, teach us to number our days so that you can do as much as you can with it. So that you can do a lot of work. So that you can accomplish as many activities as you can. That's not what it says. It says, teach us to number our days, to count our days, to know that our life is short, to know that our life is finite. In comparison, in contrast to this infinite God, so that we may present a heart of wisdom, so that we may live a life of wisdom, so that we may understand that our life is important, so that we may, as finite beings, present our lives before God. See, because God created time, He rules, He transcends time. Our days and our years are in the hands of an eternal God. And so as I look at the life of Jesus now, I notice sort of that he never seems to go through life in a hurry. He doesn't seem to stress about time in the sense that, oh my gosh, I have so much to do today. I've got this huge to-do list. I got to go here. I got to travel there. I got to do this. I got to do this. He never seemed to be in a hurry, even though he only had really 3 years to save the world. You know, that's kind of a short time to do that. I mean, presidents can't even do that in 2 terms, you know, and it's, he never seemed to run from place to place, you know. He had time to stop and hang out with little children. He seemed to take time to look at the lilies and the flowers and just to enjoy that and the birds of the air and time seemed to be his friend. And so I begin to gain some insight that the scriptures, this psalm is saying, look, count your days because time is valuable and precious. And how you invest your time is important. But do it because in relationship of your finiteness to an infinite God. And so here is a people who have disobeyed, angered God with his wrath. To me, as I meditate on this, I just feel more strongly in my spirit that this has less to do about time, but more about the relationship between our sinfulness, our disobedience, our finiteness in relationship to an infinite God. And so it's like, Lord, let us count our days so that we may live this life, this existing life, with wisdom. And then it finishes with, Lord, let your favor be upon us. Confirm again the work of our hands. I want us to sort of meditate on this. Yesterday I talked about, do not let the book of the law depart from our mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything that's written in it. I want us to meditate on this psalm, but What comes to mind also is Matthew chapter 7. This whole idea is of, you know, we have a short amount of time, so let's do as much as we can. Well, when I think of Matthew 7, that passage says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. Only those who do the will of my Father will enter. And then they said, well, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons? Didn't we heal the sick in your name? And the response of the Lord is, I never knew you. And I look at that, and the problem with those people is like, look, I did all of these things for you, God. Look, I cast out demons. I healed the sick. I prophesied in your name. But it's very clear in Matthew 7, I forget which verse. It's very clear. It says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom, but only those who do the will of my Father. And so verse 12 is not saying, look, do as much as you can, but count your days. Know that it's finite. Know that you have a God who is your dwelling place that has been over you and protected you from all this time. And make your life count so that you may present before him a heart of wisdom, a life of wisdom. And so maybe for reflection this morning or meditation over this psalm is, are you living a life that demonstrates wisdom in your relationship with God? Are you doing things that are eternal? Are you doing things for yourself? What are you doing with the time and the precious resource of time that God has given us? And so I want us to reflect on that this morning, and may the Lord speak to you as we reflect this morning on time. If I could ask Jeff to come up. I don't know how the Spirit will speak to you this morning. Maybe you'll be challenged. Maybe you'll be affirmed. Maybe you'll be repentant. But my desire is, let the Word of God speak to the depths of your heart. May it change and transform the darkness of our heart, and may it bring light into the truth. It is true we only have one life to live. It is true that time is more valuable than money. It is true that if you were aware that your life is limited, that you would live it differently. All those things are true. And my prayer is that we would take that understanding and invest it for things that last for eternity.
This is love. else can complete me? Who can cover my sin? Nothing can defeat me. Now that you live within, neither death nor life, no depth and no height, can weaken your love, oh God. And there's nothing in this world, in all of creation, that can take your love away. And this is how I know what love is. Though I'm a sinner, Christ laid down his life for me. And that's the greatest act of love in history, when my Jesus died for me. This is love. This is love. And I will worship you, give you the highest praise. You gave your everything, for you are truly great. And I will worship you, give you the highest praise. For you gave your everything, for you are truly great. And I will worship you, give you the highest praise. You gave your everything, for you are truly great. This is how I know what love is. Though I'm a sinner, Christ gave up his life for me. And that's the greatest act of love in history, when my Jesus died for me. And this is how I know what love is. Though I'm a sinner, Christ laid down his life for me. And that's the greatest act of love in history, when my Jesus died for me. When my Jesus died for me. When my Jesus died for me. This is love. This is love.
This morning is not about how many things you can fit into your finite amount of time. It's about knowing that your time is short and doing the will of God, so that you may present a heart of wisdom. When you are on judgment day, he's not going to say, oh, you only did 45 things for me, whereas the other person did 52 things for me. You're not graded on a scale like that, on how many things you can fit in, how many activities you can fit in. But you're graded on, are you doing the will of the Father? And so before we go into a community intercession, may this day be a day where you do the will of the Father. And may each day from this day on be a day where you do God's will. For our days are short. us, Lord. We want to do your will. We want to make our life count, to do what you are doing in this world. God, not for our own pleasures, not for our own desires, not for our own success or fame, but for your name and for your renown and for your kingdom, oh God. Lord, we want to count our days and present to you a heart of wisdom. May we live life in wisdom. Thank you, Lord. Let's begin to pray for our community. Let's lift up our community, those who are just struggling and really in pain as they go through cancer treatments. And so let's ask the Lord to heal them. Let's ask the Lord to do miracles. Let's ask God for testimonies. Let's ask God to reveal his glory through the healing of his people. So let's lift them up and intercede for them right now. Who are sick but also don't know the Lord yet. Let's ask the Lord to open their hearts so that they would know that Christ is the way to the Father. And so let's lift them up and let's pray for salvation. Let's pray for healing. Let's pray for power encounters in their life with the Lord. And so let's pray for them. Pray for others who have illness and sicknesses and infirmities, and so let's pray for them now. Lift up those who need jobs right now and are unemployed, and let's ask the Lord to provide, ask for provision and grace and mercy upon their lives, and let's ask the Lord to provide for them quickly. So let's pray. Pray for our mission focus for this morning, and let's pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for Grace and Ashley at Bloom to continue the work there. Let's pray for Pastor Robert O, Pastor Tang at New Life Church. And let's ask the Lord to really do great things. Let's pray for revival in Cambodia. Let's ask the Lord to use our servants, His servants, for the kingdom in Cambodia. So let's lift up Cambodia right now. Let's pray for our board of directors, and let's ask the Lord to give them wisdom and guidance as they plan and make decisions. And so let's pray for our board. Lift them up that God would speak. Let's pray for humility. Let's pray for unity. And so let's lift up our board. Pray for our men's and women's ministries. There's retreats coming up, but also for the ministry to bring men together and to bring women together for healing and for fellowship and for encouragement. And so let's lift up men's and women's ministries right now. Let's not forget about SP 2.0, and let's pray for a new building. This is only 1.5. This is only a temporary place. So let's lift up that God would provide 2.0, our new building, and the donor that was prophesied, that the Lord would just begin to bring that person forward. And so let's ask the Lord to bless 2.0. Pray for the house churches meeting today, Causeway Bay, Island, Sha Tin, Kennedy, Robinson West, Happy Valley, and Mac Robinson. Let's pray for the leaders. Let's ask the Lord to use this time to really bring people together in community and unity and fellowship, and that they would experience God amongst one another as they love one another. And so let's pray for these house churches. Thank you. Holy Spirit, we thank you for this day that has just begun. And Lord, we want to use it for your will. We want to make it count for the kingdom. And Lord, thank you that you guide our steps. Lord, we thank you that you plan our course. And today we want to trust in you with all of our hearts. Lord, we want to not lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways we will acknowledge you, that you are the Lord. And Lord, we pray that you would make our paths straight, that you would direct our paths today, God. For you are our dwelling place for generations to generation, God. You are our home. You are our God. And so we thank you, God, and we worship you, we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to encourage you to continue to seek the Lord, be in his presence, let the Lord speak to you, and just meditate upon his word this morning, and have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.